So I took a little road trip this past weekend,
Okay.
and I found myself in Amish country.
Okay.
I mean, it was intentional. I didn't get lost. I had fucking GPS, but
Okay.
my wife wanted to visit Amish country. We live in Pennsylvania. Figured that's a thing you do.
Why not?
So we went to like this little Amish village, and we could see them, making their butter, whatever the fuck they do, like whittling toys and all.
They like to put up barns very quickly. Have you ever seen videos
Yeah,
of that?
it's
They're really quick.
like, are they really building those barns or is it a competition?
I think they're really building those barns. It's like 300 people doing it in one day or some crazy shit. I don't know. It's like a lot of people.
It's like they just tie a bunch of slats to a rope and pull the rope, and it's like a
The
ship in a bottle.
it's like a frame already ready to go.
Yeah, it's miraculous. So I saw this woman, this Amish woman in like some sort of Amish village. It had Amish in the name, and she was like hand making these toys. And I looked behind her, and I saw an electric fan plugged in, cooling her off.
Okay,
And I
okay.
was like, "You lying ass bitch! You niggas are Mennonites."
Oh my God, you got tricked. What did you just go? Is it like you can go visit their village, or did you get guys just go and gawk at them?
No, like they have this, I guess it's like Colonial Williamsburg, like type fake village, except it's Mennonites pretending they're Amish. But who knows? They could have been any white people for all I know.
Did you say anything? You got me. That's what you should have said to them. You got me.
Deceitful Amish.
Fake Amish. Welcome back to Eat the Press, guys. We took an impromptu week off last week. Jason was on vacation.
Out
Forgot his
amongst the Dutch.
with the yes, forgot his microphone. Probably couldn't have used it anyways. So we said, you know what? Let's just take the week off, and that's what we did.
We figured we would let the news cycle catch up to us.
Yes, right. So here we are. We're back. We hope you missed us. We missed
We
you.
missed you, absolutely.
Yes, I missed talking to you last week.
I know, I was
It was weird, like not doing our podcast.
I know. I mean, I'm not going to say I did not enjoy myself. It was a very restful trip, but yeah, I missed the pod, and the streets need this.
Yes, and also my husband was like, "When are you gonna do your pod again? I'm tired of listening to you, bitch." So there's that.
So since we've been gone,
Yeah.
Joe Biden finally announced his running mate,
He sure did.
and to absolutely no one's surprise.
Yes, who was surprised? No one.
It was Kamala Harris, and congrats, Kamala Harris, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I told you how I feel. I feel like it's fine. Like, it's a big deal. She's a black woman, and that's a big deal. And I applaud him for having a VP as a black woman. But also, like, she's also a cop. So, you know how we feel about cops here.
So I was trying to think of upsides to the Harris choice, and one of the best things I can think of is having her as VP keeps her from being Attorney General.
Ah, she'd be better than Bill Barr. Come on.
Yeah, but do you
Any.
know how dangerous she would be? She'd be prosecuting all kinds of dumb shit.
Would
She
she? Would
loves
she?
throwing people in jail.
Does she still? I know she used to. Does she still? Has she maybe reformed herself? I don't know.
She has not seemed remorseful for her time as a prosecutor.
Mm.
But I mean, it's weird how Kamala Harris should feel like this revelatory pick. I mean, she's the first African American woman chosen. She's the first Asian American at the top of the ticket. And yet she's like the safest choice you can make.
I mean, I just feel like I'm not angry about it, but I'm also not like, woohoo! You know, she's fine. She's fine. It's great.
Okay.
What I'm not looking forward to is, it's already started, is like the sexist attacks, like from Fox News, or like, she's so ambitious, she just wants to be president. Like,
Have they called her shrill yet?
I'm sure they have. But what man, white man, vice president, didn't want to be president?
They love Pete Buttigieg. And Pete Buttigieg is human ambition. He's nothing but a fucking resume.
So, yeah, I don't need to hear those kinds of attacks. From what I read, though, like, she voted as a senator pretty liberally. So, that's good.
I mean, really, what does a VP do? The reason Obama had Biden as his VP was for two reasons. A, he needed a middle-aged white man on the ticket to sort of moderate him. But he also needed someone who could be the angry attack dog in a way that he as a black man could not be.
Right.
So having a prosecutor like Kamala Harris, can get her hands dirty. She can do the dirty work.
And also, she's going to be fun to watch debate Mike Pence. Like, I think that, I mean, if his wife will let him get on the stage with her.
They won't be alone in the room.
Yeah, they will not. Even though they're supposed to be social distancing and, you know, all that. I think she'll destroy him. Don't you?
Oh, she will murk him. I was shocked to learn, you actually told me, that she is somehow only 5 years younger than him.
I know, isn't that insane? She looks so much better than he does.
He is so fucking... you know, I want to say when you're unproblematic, you age well, but she's kind of problematic.
I mean, I also was thinking about this. Who's not problematic? Really? There's only a few people in... I mean, I'm talking about politics. Jason raised his hand. I'm not problematic. Yeah, no, not you. I just mean, like, politician-wise. Like, they're all problematic. They all have baggage. They all have something that you go, ugh, why'd you do that? Why'd you say that? Why'd you push that policy? Or why'd you, you know, write that bill or whatever it is? It's like, I don't know. They all have problems, because especially the Democrats, because they just kowtow, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not excited about the pick, but I'm happy with it. It's what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone for whom Kamala Harris is a deal breaker was going to vote for Joe Biden anyway.
Right. Yeah. I mean, also, it's funny that the Republicans are attacking her as if she's far left. What? What?
Yeah. We're far left. No one on the left likes her.
We're far left. What are they talking about? And we're just like, okay, fine.
You know, I hope that maybe she can help turn out the black vote in a way we haven't seen since Obama. She's definitely inspiring a lot of black women.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's great. Listen, yeah. That's awesome. Like, it's really great that he's got a black woman as his VP.
Can we talk about identity for a second?
Yes, I know you want to go there.
I mean, it's ultimately unimportant, but it's like the whole Amish Mennonite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala Harris is a black woman from America, and she identifies as such. Kamala Harris is not African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And this is tricky. Like, African-American, the term was originated to refer to descendants of slaves in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, that she is, her father is Jamaican, and that makes her a descendant of a slave. But culturally and ethnically, Jamaicans and West Indians are a unique culture and ethnic group. And so are African Americans. Like, there is African American vernacular English. Like, that is an actual dialect.
Mm-hmm.
It is a culture. It has its own cuisine, its music, its culture. And while Kamala Harris was born in the United States, she is not of that culture. And I think it's easier for people to understand that distinction when it comes to Afro-Latinx people.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, she were Dominican or Puerto Rican of color, born in New York, people would say, oh, she is Latin American. She is Afro-Latinx. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't say that she's African American. But because Jamaica is an Anglophone country, and people a lot of times don't recognize African Americans as a unique cultural and ethnic group, we'll just say any black person who grows up here is.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like, she is black. She has lived a black experience.
Yes,
she will be treated as a black person. But there's an entire spectrum of blackness and many ethnicities within, and she just happens not to be AFAM.
Right. But I think a lot of, like we talked about over text, I think a lot of white people like to just lump all black people in to one group as African Americans without seeing that there's distinct cultural identities within the black experience.
Yeah, it's totally true. You know, I learned today that she actually didn't even spend her entire childhood here.
Mm.
Here meaning the United States. Kamala Harris's mother took a job as a professor at McGill, and she spent her middle and high school years living in Montreal.
Okay, so she speaks French, probably, and she's cosmopolitan.
I wonder what her accent is like, because there's like a French-Canadian accent.
I know. Yeah, maybe she has one. I don't know. Go ahead.
I have been to Montreal. If I were a black American growing up in Montreal, like, would I affect a Haitian accent?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Because, like, that would have been the black people that she saw growing up.
Right. Would you say that people in New Orleans, black people in New Orleans, have somewhat of a French dialect? They do, right? Because it's influenced a little bit, but it's Creole.
It's very Afro-Caribbean, and then, like, also, like, the Spanish were in New Orleans for a while. It is a unique accent, and for my money, the black Louisiana accent is the prettiest American accent. I love it.
I love it, too. It's so fun to listen to.
The white Louisiana accent, New Orleans accent, is a little weird because it's not completely Southern. It's sort of like East Coast Irish.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's weird.
Ah, New Orleans. Nylons, as they say. Is that how they say it? I don't know.
We have a pro New Orleans stance on this podcast. Yeah. New Orleans, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah, I love New Orleans. Been there once, that's it. But I loved it. So now we're going to move on and talk about the post office and how the Republicans and Trump are stealing the election right in front of our eyes. It's insane what's happening with the post office. Do you want to?
Yeah, so we talked about this a while back when Trump first started targeting the Postal Service as well as vote by mail. He's been going after vote by mail for months. But early on in the budget crisis, they talked about the not funding the post office anymore.
Mm-hmm. And the budget crisis, just to remind everybody, is wholly of the Congress's making by forcing the post office to fund its retirement through 50 years into the future.
It's 75 years.
75 years in the future, which is insane because no other company or institution in government has to do that. So, of course, they are saddled with debt because that is a lot of years to fund for your retirement of your workers. And as well as, they also are in the black if they didn't have to do that. I think, fund themselves without having to do that.
Yeah, no, they were fully funded on their own. And the thing is, it's the Postal Service, not the postal business. No one talks about the military not turning a profit.
Oh, my God. It's just sinking money into the military for planes that we don't even use. I mean, come on. Don't even get me started.
Yo, when is the last time we fought somebody with a Navy?
World War II? I don't know. Vietnam? I don't know. When?
I'm pretty sure ISIS doesn't have a Navy.
No, they do not.
We got nuclear submarines, and we're fighting dudes with box cutters.
This country. So, okay, back to the story at hand. There's a new postmaster. His name is Louis DeJoy, or Louis. I'm not sure how you say his name. And he's a Trump donor, top donor. Surprise, surprise. He has done quite a few things in his short time. He's been the Postmaster General for about a month or so, maybe 6 weeks since June, I think it is. And he's cut overtime. He's slowed down mail delivery. What else? He has did a staff shakeup on Friday where he reassigned or fired. I'm not sure if he fired. About 20 people or so in top positions. So he took
23 high-ranked executives at the Postal Service.
Right, and these are people who have institutional knowledge on how everything works, and he basically took them out of leadership positions, which centralizes the power in him. He has more power now. He also advanced a proposal to triple state postage for mail-in ballots, taking it from 20 cents for bulk mail up to 55 cents. That's almost tripling it, which is insane. And then, I don't know if you heard this, but I was listening to NPR, and they were interviewing a postal worker union, I think it was the head of that in Iowa, and she told them, and this drove me crazy, but she told them that they're getting their mail sorting machines taken away. And they asked DeJoy or the post office about this, and they said it's for cost cutting, and it's like to make them more efficient. And how is taking away sorting machines making you more efficient? NPR didn't even ask follow up on this. Like, how does that even work? They just skipped right over it.
When has any organization been like, you know what? Automation, bad. Do that shit manually.
I mean,
it's cheaper.
It's insane. So they're slowing down the mail, which means people can't get their medicines, their paychecks, and also ballots. It's going to be a problem with the ballots in November, mail-in ballots.
Yeah, and like you touched upon the charging the state's first-class mail instead of bulk. I don't think people realize how many ballots states send out and what a finite budget these state election boards have.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be sending out more ballots this year than they've ever sent out, ever.
Yeah, I mean, we're still in the midst of an unchecked global pandemic.
Well, America is. United States is. Everybody else is doing way better. I mean, New Zealand just had their first case in like 100 days. I think Vietnam hasn't had any cases in like 100 days or something.
We are literally the only country, the only developed nation still struggling with this to this extent.
Are we struggling or is it purposeful? It's purposeful. I mean, we didn't cover this, I don't think, but I sent it to you, that Vanity Fair article. Did you read it about what Kushner did?
Oh, the Kushner thing? No, but tell the listeners.
Okay, so Vanity Fair did a investigative piece a couple weeks ago, and it is absolutely disgusting. Basically, Kushner's team that he put together, I think back in March or April, whenever it was at the beginning of this bullshit, actually came up with a somewhat decent testing plan. His team was actually excited about it. And Kushner and Trump killed it. Killed the plan because they decided that the virus was going to kill people in Democratic states and cities. And so they killed this testing plan because they thought that that would be politically advantageous to them. So that's where we're at. Is they basically, if you ask me, that's fucking genocide. You're letting, 160,000 people have died now so that they could, what? I don't even know what. It looks better for them? There's like such short-term thinking with these people.
Global pandemic to stick it to the libs.
I know, right? I mean, you still have people thinking it's a hoax and not wearing a mask and all this stupid bullshit. Anyways, we digress. So we're still in the middle of a pandemic. And they're slowing down the mail. And what is the end game here? Like,
there's two things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one is for Trump to win the election. That's their way of stealing the election. And the other, which has always been the Republicans' end game, which is privatizing the Postal Service.
Right, right.
And do you know who actually stands to profit from the privatization of the Postal Service?
Could it be the Postmaster General himself?
Funny you mention that. Yeah, Louis DeJoy happens to hold about $75 million worth of stock in shipping logistics companies.
Yes. He owns, I think it's UPS, he owns about $300,000 worth. Also, you know what I think they're doing is sabotaging mail voting, which, you know, I think people are catching on to this. And so what's that going to do? Force people to vote in person, right? Now, I haven't heard recently, but is Trump still sending troops to Democratic cities? Is that still a thing he's going to do?
Yo, it's crazy that you mentioned that. Like, we've stopped hearing of those stories about the shock troops.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, is he still going to do that? And will he do that when it's time to vote?
I mean, almost certainly.
Right, so that's like a two-pronged thing he's doing there. Force people, either steal it through the mail, slow down the mail, or force people to vote in person and then intimidate them with the military. Well, they're not military, they're mercenaries, but yes.
It's going to be a fun election cycle.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be good stuff. Yeah, so the Democrats are calling for investigations. 'Cause that's what they do, and it's like, yeah, I think that'll get them, guys. That's going to stop the corruption, is more investigations.
Yeah, why don't we form a committee?
Yeah, let's form a committee to decide if we should look into investigating this. I mean, even if don't they have the power to fire him? I don't understand.
I mean, we had that. It was actually this year. That's the crazy shit. The Senate trial happened in 2020.
Right. That was, what, 8 months ago? God. Well,
like, that feels like forever ago.
This has been an exhausting year. It's just exhausting.
Yo, 2020 is fucking with my hair. I mean, my hairline's still strong, but the grays are coming in.
Oh, yeah. The hairline.
Yeah, I might get some Just for Men.
You know that Just for... Just for Men. I thought you were... For a minute, I thought you were going to say, I thought you were talking about, what is the stuff you put in your hair to make it grow?
Oh, Rogaine.
Rogaine, right. Rogaine. I like the way you say that. Rogaine. I thought you were talking about that, because Rogaine is like, you have to do that shit twice a day. That seems like a lot of work for your hair.
It does, but yeah, I'm worth it.
Mm-hmm, you are. But go for who was it that was on the box?
On the Rogaine box?
No, the Just for Men. Wasn't it Phil? Wasn't it a basketball coach?
Was Phil Jackson on the Just for Men box? I
feel like it was. Google it. I don't know. Google it.
You know, if I ever go back to the barbershop, I might have the barber hit me up with that spray, that Beijing spray.
Oh, yeah. That stuff looks good.
I mean, it looks great on NBA announcer Jalen Rose.
Mm, okay.
Hairline straight out of a can.
Okay. Reference, I don't know, but I will Google it. Guys, I just Googled it. It wasn't Phil Jackson. It's somebody, though. Wait. I'm going to Google this. Hold on, because this is going to drive me crazy.
No, I seem to remember there being Just for Men commercials with athletes and coaches. I just don't remember.
Oh, Clyde Frazier. That's who it was.
Oh, the God.
Yeah. Is it your Twitter handle for him?
Yeah. From an old blog from years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes, that's who it was. I was like,
he did it just for?
Yeah, he did.
You know, one of those guys is black and the other one's white.
Mm-hmm. It's Keith Hernandez was the other one. I know, I just couldn't remember. All I've seen is gray hair. That's all I had in my head. And like, sports person. Sports person, see? I don't watch sports. I called him a sports person.
Do you think that stuff works on women?
Just for men?
I think it's just marketing.
It's just
marketing. Yeah, like the men's deodorant.
Everything is just marketing. It's all the same fucking shit. Yeah, it's just...
I saw some man wipes in the store, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Is it a
for your butt? Your butt?
I don't know what part of your body you put it on, but I'm like, I don't understand why things have to specifically be marketed to men. You know, guys are like, fellas, is it gay to have good hygiene?
Should I buy a loofah, or is that gay? Use a loofah, for real. Yeah. All right, we should move on.
All right.
I'm going to have to edit the fuck out of this.
We're going to take that out.
Yeah. We're probably not. Okay, so our last thing we want to talk about
is last week, Donald Trump announced that he would, well, he signed an executive order that announced he would be suspending payroll taxes from now until the end of the year. And saying that if reelected, he would make that suspension of payroll taxes permanent.
Yes, this is another, goal of the Republicans, eliminate Social Security and Medicare.
Because that is exactly what the payroll taxes are. They're going to stop funding those huge entitlement programs from now until the end of the year. And he's promising to stop funding them. At no point did he ever say he was killing either of those programs.
Of course not, because he wouldn't tie it to the language together. And he expects that the people who support him are too dumb to know that those things are tied together. That's what he expects.
But guess what else? Did you read that the payroll taxes still have to be paid?
Yes. Go ahead.
So if he is not reelected, and the next president, if that being Joe Biden, reverses that executive order, doesn't extend it, then not only, well, it's not only, everyone will basically owe a huge tax penalty. Mm-hmm. So it's basically extorting people.
Mm-hmm. To vote for him. And also, I read that most employers are not going to, they're just going to hold it anyways, because they don't want to be hit with this either. And the other thing is, this doesn't help people, really. It helps people who make a lot of money, a little bit. It doesn't help people who are unemployed. We still don't have a stimulus bill. We still don't have extension of unemployment benefits. Let's say he does this, which legally there's a lot of questions of whether he can just do this, because like if he...
No, he can't do this.
This is Congress. Congress controls money. He doesn't get to control money. This is what it's like. You're not a king, dude. If he did this, it's like, for a lot of people, it's like between like $7 and $30 a paycheck. Who's that going to help?
I mean, it's not going to make or break anyone, but it will break our entire social safety net.
Which is what they want to do. They want to make this place is in our country unlivable.
Like, what a shitty group of people.
They're the worst people. I just don't understand anyone who votes for them, because the truth is they don't help anybody but themselves and the wealthy. I don't understand how you can vote for them if you're just a regular person.
It's all about who you want them to hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they're hurting the right people intentionally, then they roll with it.
Right. I mean, do we have anything else to say except that it's really shitty that he's going to try to do that?
And that he has absolutely no right to do that. And, I mean, who's going to check him?
Every time somebody's like, yeah, well, you know, he really can't do that. I'm like, shut up. He's done everything he can't do.
Yeah, I've heard people say that about, you know, we talked about, would he be willing to step down? Would he accept the outcome of the election? And they're like, well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't have the choice. Like, where have you been the last 4 years?
I mean, all of these people are like, it'll be Nancy Pelosi as president on January, whatever day it is, if he doesn't step down. And it's like, you really think that he's going to be like, okay, Nancy's president? You really think that?
They will snatch your ass up into the gulag so fast.
I mean...
Which is actually not a bad idea.
What, the gulag's better than here?
No, not a bad... No, Nancy Pelosi's for the gulag.
Okay. Oh, yeah, right. Don't get me started on Nancy Pelosi. Her and her, like, faux outrage, which isn't even outrage, it's just, like, a statement about everything. And then people do their, like, snide little clap. Yes, yeah, she's such a queen. Get out of here.
I love the Democratic establishment. So, do you have an asshole for the week?
I do not. Do you?
I do have an asshole of the week.
Nice.
My asshole of the week is a candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives in North Carolina's 11th district. Mm-hmm. Madison Cawthorn.
Is she a QAnon? Is he a QAnon?
He is not necessarily a QAnon. We don't know that, but he is almost certainly a white supremacist.
Oh, cool.
He's posted a picture of himself on Instagram at the Eagle's Nest, which is one of Hitler's homes.
Okay.
And said that it was a bucket list. Item for him to visit the vacation home of Der Führer.
Oh, cool, cool.
He gave him the honorific.
Wow, he did that.
Yeah, he called him the Führer.
All right, gave him that respect. Put respect on his name.
Now, later in the post, full disclosure, he did mention something about supreme evil. But he was like, still having a great time here, it's awesome. It's big smiles with his brother.
It is always so bizarre to me when people do that.
And so Cawthorn is 25 years old. He is purportedly a businessman. His business is real estate investing.
Mm.
Jezebel did an investigative piece and has found that his company has purchased one parcel of real estate for $20,000.
Okay.
What he is a 25-year-old with one semester of Bible college.
Okay.
Who got into a horrific car accident, when he was 18 and lost the use of his legs. And he's living off of a $3 million insurance settlement.
Okay.
He has then since resued the insurance company to get $30 million. He's a fucking grifter.
I mean...
But his real estate investing company, actually... Oh, I've got to come up with the name of it. Oh, it's SPQR Holdings.
Okay.
SPQR is an acronym for something Latin. It refers to a specific Roman legion. SPQR has been adopted by white supremacist groups. Tattoos, shirts. So this guy has named his company, which doesn't do anything, by the way.
After white supremacists. Okay, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. And he's... probably going to win his district. So you, Madison Cawthorn, are the asshole of the week.
Mm-hmm. Is this wrong to say your broken legs don't get us any sympathy?
You know, like...
I almost was starting to feel sympathy for him.
Because you know what? Like, I'm still not going to go after his legs. Okay. Like,
Should I edit that out?
No, don't edit it out. Because I'll go after Dan Crenshaw's eye. Because fuck Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, fuck him. I hate him. He is...
Because he's... Yeah, he's been in a position of power, and he's used that power for evil, so now I can make fun of his eye.
Yeah, right.
Madison Cawthorn, to date, is just some dipshit grifter kid. Now, when he gets into Congress, maybe we can make fun of him.
Okay, we'll save it for then. I almost felt bad for him, because I have been hit by a car on my bike, and I sued, and the guy had shitty insurance, so I barely got any money, and I have a fucked up hip now, but this guy... got in a car accident with somebody who had really great insurance. So it's a fucked up system. All right.
Don't get hit by cars, guys. Yeah. Look both ways.
Okay, it wasn't my fault. What the fuck? Wow, way to blame the victim, Jason. Way to blame the victim. All right. Well, anyways, as always, follow us at Eat the Press on all the things. Rate us on iTunes. Leave us a review if you feel it. We're back. We won't take any more unannounced
hiatuses,
sabbaticals, yes, vacations.
YeetThePress.com coming soon. Right now, there's a Yeet the Press Facebook page.
Yeah,
like it, share it with your friends.
Guess what? We're gonna be targeting some people with some ads and getting some more listeners.
Cambridge Analytica. That check is coming.
Yeah, that's right. We're getting in on this grift. All right, Jason. Until next time.
Until next time.
Later.